Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the LIC's Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Mohanty, CEO and MD, LIC. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. I am Siddharth Mohanty, CEO and MD, LIC. On behalf of the senior management team, I warmly welcome you all to the results and performance update call of Life Insurance Corporation of India for the first quarter ended June 30th, 2024. The results and a presentation can be accessed on our website and on websites of both the stock exchanges, BSE and NSE. Along with me on this call, I have Managing Directors Mr. Satpal Bhanu and Mr. Doraiswamy with me. Senior officials of the corporation present on this call are Mr. Dinesh Pant, Appointed Actuary and Executive Director, and Mr. K.R. Ashok, Executive Director from the Actuarial Team, Mr. R. Sudhakar, Executive Director, Marketing and CMO, and Mr. Hemant Buch, Executive Director, Bancassurance from our Marketing Team, Mr. Ratnakar Patnaik, Executive Director, Investment Front Office and CIO, and Mr. K. Seshagiridhar, Executive Director, Investment Back Office from the Investment Team, Mrs. Manju Bagga, Executive Director, Pension and Group Schemes, Mrs. Rachna Khare, Executive Director, CRM Policy Servicing, Sri C.V. Ramana, Additional Executive Director, CRM Policy Servicing, Mr. Sanjay Bajaj, Head Investor Relations, and Mr. Satyamanyu Srivastava, Chief Finance and Accounts. I would like to thank all of you for sparing your valuable time to join this call today and listen to the LIC team. Let me now mention the key business, operational, and financial highlights for the quarter ended June 30th, 2024. Premium income. For the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, we have reported a total premium income of INR 113,770 crore as compared to total premium income of INR 98,363 crore for the quarter ending June 30th, 2023, registering a growth of 15.66% on year-on-year basis. The individual new business premium income per quarter ended June 30th, 2024, is INR 11,892 crore, and for the corresponding quarter of last year, it was INR 10,462 crore. It can be seen that we have grown by 13.67% in individual new business premium income on year-on-year basis. Renewal premium income, individual business per quarter ended June 30th, 2024, is INR 55,300 crore as compared to INR 52,311 crore for quarter ended June 30th, 2023. Therefore, for the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, our total individual premium income, including renewal, is INR 67,192 crore as compared to INR 62,773 crore for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. The group business total premium income for quarter ended June 30th, 2024, is INR 46,578 crore, comprising new business premium of INR 45,570 crore. In comparison for quarter ended June 30th, 2023, last year, the group business total premium income was INR 35,590 crore and comprised new business premium of INR 34,398 crore. Therefore, for quarter ended June 30th, 2024, the total group premium was increased by 30.87% as compared to similar period of previous year. Our market share by first year premium income is 64.02% as per IRDA figures for the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, as compared to 61.42% for the similar period ended June 30th, 2024. If we were to split this total market share of 64.02% into segment-wise share of individual and group business, we would have a market share of 39.27% in individual business and 76.59% in the group business for the quarter ended June 30th, 2024. On a comparable basis for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, the respective market shares for individual and group business were 40.84% and 72.5%. At this stage, I would like to mention that for full year ended March 31st, 2024, our overall market share was 58.87%. Therefore, you can appreciate that we are making rapid strides in regaining market share now. In an APE basis, the breakup of business is as follows. Total annualized premium equivalent APE for quarter ended June 30th, 2024 is INR 11,560 crore, which is comprised individual AP of INR 6,747 crore and group AP of INR 4,813 crore. Therefore, on AP basis, the individual business accounts for 58.37% and group business accounts for 41.63%. Further, of the individual AP, the par business accounts for INR 5,132 crore and non-par amounts to INR 1,615 crore. As you can see, our non-par share of individual APE is 23.94% and par is 76.06% for quarter ended June 30th, 2024. You will remember that our non-par share for quarter ended June 30th, 2023 on AP basis within the overall individual business was 10.22%. Thus, our individual non-par AP share has increased from INR 608 crore to INR 1,615 crore and from 10.22% to 23.94%. as a result of our intense focus on non-par business. There is growth of 165.60% in individual non-par APE on year-on-year basis, implying that the momentum we built on non-par products is continuing. Profit after tax. The PAT for the quarter ended June 30, 2024 was 10,461 crore as compared to 9,544 crore for the quarter ended June 30, 2023, an increase of 9.61%. VNB and VNB margin. Net VNB is INR 1,610 crore for the quarter ended June 30, 2024 as compared to INR 1,302 crore for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. It can be seen that the VNB has registered an increase of 23.66% on year-on-year basis. Further, the net VNB margin for the quarter ended June 30th, 2024 is 13.9% as compared to 13.7% for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. Showing improvement by 20 basis points on a year-on-year basis. Solvency ratio. Solvency ratio as on 30th June 2024 improved to 1.99 as against 1.89 on June 30th, 2023. Assets under management. AUM as on June 30th, 2024 was INR 53,58,780.97 crores as compared to INR 46,59,000 11,066.52 crore as on June 30th, 2023. Therefore, our AUM has shown a growth of 16.22% on year-on-year basis. Product mix. We continue to focus on our strategy of increasing the proportion of the non-par business. We have modified two products, namely LIC's Jivan Akshay 7 and LIC's new Jivan Shanti, and reintroduced during April-June 2024 quarter. While we are discussing the Q1 activities here, I am sure all of you have seen the recent product launch announcements from LIC during this week itself. We shall explain more about these launches during our subsequent result calls. Number of policies sold. During the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, we sold 35,65,519 new policies as compared to 32,16,301 new policies in quarter ended June 30th, 2023, registering a growth of 10.86% over the corresponding period of last year. Agency workforce. As on June 30th, 2024, the total number of agents was 14,24,847 as compared to 13,46,540 as on June 30th, 2023. The market share of number of agents as on June 30th, 2024 stands at 48.64% as against 50.94% for June 30th, 2023. As already informed to you earlier, FY24 analyst call held on May 28, 2024, we have started working on a project to transform our agency business to make it future ready and to be the best in class always. The project is called Jivan Samarth, and we have onboarded global firm A.T. Kearney to lead this project. On number of policies sold basis, the agency force sold 34,69,809 policies during the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, as compared to 31,19,611 policies during the corresponding period of last year, registering an increase of 11.23%. It can be seen that approximately 97% of our policies in the quarter ended June 30th, 2024 were sold by our agency force. Even on premium basis, approximately 96% of new business premium came from our agency channel in the first quarter of current financial year. Contribution by banca and alternate channel. During the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, banca and alternate channel collected new business premium aggregating 400.27 crore, which was INR 336.36 crore for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, registering a growth of 22.27% on year-on-year basis. With this, the share of banca and alternate channel by new business premium has increased to 3.46% for the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, as compared to 3.22% for similar period last year. Further, banca and alternate channel sold 55,795 policies for the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, as against 62,970 policies for the quarter ended June 30, 2023, registering decline of 11.39% on year-on-year basis. If we look at the contribution of purely banca channel, it contributes approximately 70% of new business premium to banca and alternate channel. Our overall expense ratio for the quarter ended June 30, 2024 was 11.87% as compared to 12.85% for the first quarter of last year. As you can see, there is a decrease of 98 basis points on year-on-year basis. persistency. On premium basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month up to the quarter ended June 30th, 2024 stands at 78.23%, 72.16%, 67.53%, 66.97% and 61.62% respectively, as compared to 78.37%, 72.11%, 70.75%, 64.54% and 62.73% respectively up to the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. On number of policies basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month up to the quarter ended June 30th, 2024 stands at 67.81%, 59.24%, 54.73%, 54.08% and 49.39% respectively, as compared to 66.15%, 59.28%, 57.72%, 52.04% and 50.79% respectively up to the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. Therefore, persistency has improved for 25th and 49th month on premium basis, and on number of policy basis, it has improved for 13th and 49th month year on year. Operational efficiency and digital progress. In our digital initiative through the agent-assisted Ananda app, we have completed 249,643 policies through this app during the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, as compared to 222,167 policies for the corresponding period of previous year, thereby registering a growth of 12.36% on year-on-year basis. There is a growth of 88% in number of active agents in Ananda app for the quarter ended June 30th, 2024. Further, I am happy to mention that Ananda app has also been integrated with WhatsApp. Claims. On the claims front, during the quarter ended June 30th, 2024, we have processed 40,54,920 number of claims, which includes 38,68,253 maturity and survival benefit claims. On an amount basis, during first quarter ended June 30th, 2024, total maturity claims were INR 41,954 crore. And total death claims were 5,467 crore. On a comparable basis, for first quarter of last year ended June 30th, 2023, the maturity claims were 34,611 crore and death claims were 5,147 crore. Therefore, death claims are higher by 6.22%. And maturity claims are higher by 21.21% on a year-on-year basis. Awards and accolades. The list of awards won during Q1 FY25 is presented on slide 58 of the results presentation, which indicates that our customer-centric efforts have been recognized by various industry platforms. Overall, I believe this has been a quarter where we have fired on all cylinders and delivered growth across parameters, and I believe we are on track to meet our objectives. Before I close my opening remarks, I would like to list down significant achievements during the quarter. There has been a sharp increase in our Q1 FY25 market share to 64.02% from 58.87% for full year ended March 31, 2024. Also, first quarter of FY24, we had a market share of 61.42%. Second, our overall AP growth is 21.28% on a year-on-year basis. This represents a strong underlying growth in both individual and group business. Our non-par share of individual business has further grown to 23.94% for Q1 FY25 as compared to 10.22% of the same quarter previous year. VNB has also increased by 23.66% on a year-on-year basis for this quarter. VNB margin have shown as positive bias with 20 basis points increase to 13.9% for Q1 FY2025. While maintaining growth in all parameters, we have kept a focus on costs. And as you can see, the overall expense ratio is down by 98 basis points to 11.87% in Q1 FY25. Our agency is growing in numbers and now stands at 14.25 lakhs as at end of Q1 FY25, increasing by approximately 6% year on year. Now I would like to end by stating that LIC is progressing on its stated objectives of gaining market share after having focused on during the last year on consolidating changes in product mix, channel mix and margin improvement. We are committed to further optimizing our product and channel mix and improvement of margins. With the digital transformation exercise underway, we intend to create a seamless experience for our customers and partners. We thank our customers, shareholders, distribution partners, and employees whose continuous support allows us to create a superior sustainable value as we move to next stage of our journey. I now request the moderator of this call to open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. The first one is around this new surrender regulation. I mean, so virtually this increases the payout to the lapsing policyholder. Now, if we, I were to look at LIC's premium persistency drop at 13 months, nearly 20-22%. Now, in today's context, those lapsing policyholder will be getting a zero. Now, going forward from October, they will have to be paid depending upon the formula calculated number. Now, that means that, okay, you will have to sort of compensate to those policyholder by sort of a cutting benefits on the persistent policyholder or tweaking your commission structure or taking a hit to the margins. So can you just elaborate and help, I mean, what would be the strategy, how to compensate for the sort of at least this 13 month extra payout that comes under the new regulation? So how is that going to happen? That is my question number one. Second question is on the margin front. If I look, I can understand that, okay, the margin on the non-par side, non-par individual side could be, an outcome of increased benefit payout due to maybe competition, increasing guarantee, increasing annuity rate. And also on the group side, it could be a mix of, factors, including how the composition is changing between group saving, annuity, and maybe group term. That is right. But a big puzzle that, okay, how is that margin is seeing such a sharp drop on participating side, particularly because now even in the profit sharing and all, you are nearly 90-10 and all. So what is driving this kind of a margin drop in the you know, part any time because your scale is too big. So, you know, what is happening here on the, you know, individual participating side that is driving your margin so low?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the connection for the management line. Please stay connected while we reconnect them back. Thank you.
बंद कर दिया क्यों?
Ladies and gentlemen, the management line has been reconnected back with us. Mr. Avinash, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I believe the two questions. The first one was on how are you sort of going to respond to this new surrender regulation when you will have to sort of, at least if I look like the 20-22% of the lapse in premium at the 13th month, today you are, I mean, based on regulation, you are not paying anything. Now, going forward, and of course, I mean, this surrender of money was anyway going to the largely to the power pool. So going forward, I mean, the impact has to be felt by the persistent policyholder, you know, the distributor in terms of commission tweaking and also some bit at the margin. So how are you sort of foreseeing, you know, this impact of now the new surrender regulation with the lapsing surrender policyholder being paid is going to play out across the three stakeholders? So that was my question number one. And second was that, okay, on the margin, I understand that, okay, on the group side, there are so many things that play out, even the kind of a annuity rates you offer, even within group, the kind of a product changes that happen. So that margin change, OYOY is understood. So is on the group non-par side, I mean, because of the change in guarantees and maybe ULIP increasing, having lower margin, those partly understood. But at your scale, and this thing, I mean, what is driving down this par margin YOY? I mean, that's a material drop and you have a big scale. And I mean, what is happening on the individual par side margin?
I will repeat what you had mentioned earlier. As far as the surrender value question is concerned, we all appreciate that, yes. This entire the focus is now about how to strike the right balance for the people who are exiting policy during the term of it and for the continuing policy holders. That's why we all appreciate there has been a very long engagement within the industry and also with the authority on the matter that what would be the right approach. We appreciate the regulations which clearly spell out the principles which are laid down there. And we also note the master circular which has come about. As we intend to implement, those few factors we need to consider is that, first of all, as far as the first year lapsation is considered, the requirement to pay in the first year for all policies is only applicable when the term is up to 5 years. For the policies beyond the 5 years term, the requirement is that first year, 2 year premium should have been paid. So when we consider 30-month persistency, the number which comes in the numerator is not inclusive of all the policies which have actually paid for the full year. There could be policies which have paid only for a month, which have paid for a quarter or half year, and may still not be eligible for surrender value impact. So to that extent, the impact gets mitigated in that session. But that's not our, you know, aim. What we are looking forward is the solution as a company. We continue to intend to provide the services in the manner so our policies continue to remain persistent, not first year, second year, third year. That's why we are still engaged, industry is also engaged in how to ensure smooth implementation and orderly implementation so that we can strike the right balance for the continuing policyholders and all the stakeholders vis-a-vis the people who are surrendering their policies for whatever reason during the term of the policy. And yes, as you rightly mentioned, there could be many alternates to whatever is the final form of implementation, which we will consider different solutions, including the review on ticket size, the mode of payment, the structure, the design, which can also include the review of the cost, including distribution cost. But we try to strike a balance. We have to be cognizant about the interest of all the people who are involved, including our distributors, and we try to do it in a manner so that any adverse impact is minimized to the extent possible. We continue to seek more clarity and more, ways for effective implementation for the regulations also. So that will be our approach when we consider these things. Second aspect of which you talked about on the VNB margins, as you rightly mentioned, VNB margin is dependent on the business mix of the company. It also depends upon the marketing strategy of the company, overall company, because VNB margin is really significant parameter from shareholder reporting point of view. But more significant it may be as a value, because that's the value which is coming, which is therefore the combination of the business mix and the margins there. So sometimes we do take strategic decisions to bring down the margins so that the VNB growth can happen, which we have seen. Actually, that's one of the reasons that if you see in the first quarter, we have been able to achieve good not only AP growth, but also VNB growth of something around 24%, which was just around 5% in the last year, because we took a calculated, you know, decision in which the benefits were readjusted. In specific to the PAR segment, which you're talking about, PAR is also a big, has got a big bandwidth of products, large number of products. Within them, the margins are different and significant. So there also, business mix is one of the thing which drives the value of VNB margin within it. But another important component is the risk-free rates or the discounting rates that are used for the valuation of VNB margins and VNB as such. And we have seen the southward trend in the RFRs in this during this period, which has also significantly impacted the VNB margins in the participating line of business, specifically which we have. I hope that answers your query.
Yeah, thanks, sir. So quick follow-up on that first surrender regulation. So very specific. Now, will it be possible, because you have a large agency distribution, then the first year commission, will it remain viable to not have a clawback or a trail-based commission for the policies that if likely lapse day in 13 months specific? So, I mean, under the new surrender regulation, will it remain viable that you still have the usual payout structure that you are doing today if the policy were to lapse, say, in 13 months after paying 1 year premium?
Since we mentioned about surrender regulations, and if we read the regulations clearly, I don't think we are insurers, we have got challenges. The bigger challenge is possibly is from some provision in the draft circular, not draft circular, but the master circular. So regulations are consistent with the pricing rate, so that's not a big point. Will it be possible? This world is full of possibilities. Many solutions are possible. Clawback is one of them, but it's not a necessary provision. We'll try to see ultimately the final shape in which we'll work out. We are in constant interaction within our, you know, teams, marketing teams. Whenever product review or product redesign has to be considered, we have to consider all the aspects. Everything is possible. Clawback is an option, but not a necessary option. At this stage, we'll not like to preempt and say, this is going to be everything. Everything is possible, like the review on the ticket size is possible, but every action has got an implication. So we have to see what is the best possible combination of decisions that we have to take in product review. Product review is anyways a very regular affair for us, and is a continuous requirement for us. Whether product regulations are there or, you know, they are not changed, still review will always be there. Whether from the persistency point of view, also we have to consider this aspect. So yes, this is an option, but not a necessary action that is envisaged by.
And so one data question, if you can help, I would believe around 14 lakh crore would be your equity investment. How that is spread across your PAR and non-PAR book? And what is the fair value gain sitting in these two books?
See, not talking about specific numbers, but as a conscious decision for the participating business, we consider that, you know, because it involves discretionary benefits, we would, you know, always be happy to have a equity backing ratio of around 15 to 25% in that phase, ideally around 20% plus going forward. As far as non-PAR business is considered, I'm talking about the business which is for the consideration of policyholders, liabilities. Largely because the guarantees are involved, and the guarantees being involved, there is a requirement of asset liability matching to that extent. So very small portion of equity backing is there. But in the our ASM fund has got, you know, substantial amount of equity backing. So this is a mix in which, so we consider, the nature of the business, the requirement of maximizing and or rather optimizing the benefits for that class, and also ensuring ALM in that context. So that is, in principle, that is the approach that is your take.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suresh Ganapathy from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So I had a question on your, again, margins. So, you know, what do you, I mean, the fact that we are giving increased benefit payouts to the customer, and it's a strategic decision that we have taken, perhaps that's what is causing a reduction in both PAR and non-PAR margins that you're talking about. And also we are looking at the surrender value regulation. So how do you look at the full year margins? You are around 16% to 17% for FY24. I know there is a complex product mix aspect also. Would that also be, considering that, do you think you can maintain margins on a full year basis? And also carrying on Avinash's question on the equity book allocated, I mean, you are saying that the guaranteed products and non-PAR as a higher, what you call government securities, but when I look at it as a part of your IPO document, you have allocated a massive 5 trillion rupees to your non-PAR book equity. You know, at the time of IPO, out of 9.8 trillion. So I think right now, out of 14 trillion, it looks like even almost 50-60% of the book would be allocated to non-PAR if I look at your IPO document on an outstanding basis. Can you please provide a clarity on that? Thank you.
Yeah, yes, see, yes, to the second part of the question, I think, please note what I mentioned. I clearly mentioned that for the participating business, this is the equity backing ratio. What you, when you're talking about non-PAR book size, you're including the assets allocated to ASM, Available Solvency Margin Fund, which is in our non-PAR fund. So there the allocation is there. But the accretions from that fund is goes to the shareholder side. Therefore, the allocation which you are seeing from the books, that's why I clarify that when I'm talking about your equity backing ratio, that is in context of the liabilities which are in the non-participating contracts. So that is something.
Okay, that's clear. That's clear. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
And the first question?
And the first question was about surrender value.
Overall margin outlook, sir. I mean, how do you look at the full year margin outlook versus last year?
I'm aware that, you know, some people have given their estimates on this thing. It is like not like to, you know, get into this. For example, let me say, even if we go by the version that the surrender value have to go up, the actual outcomes would depend on the customer behavior. Does it necessarily mean that when the surrender value factors will go up, surrenders will also go up? It may happen, it may not happen. For example, strategically, an insurance company may come up with the products with the high ticket size, where the surrender behavior is less, or with the different duration or different appeals to the customer. So I personally feel it will be, you know, speculating without, because the customer behavior for this type of surrender, you know, factors is not available with us as at this point of time. And that will evolve. And I'm sensing that there will be some, you know, continuous thinking about, you know, balancing the benefits for the continuing policyholder vis-a-vis the withdrawing policyholder. We still are, you know, thinking that something from here onwards may change shape, because the regulation allows for provisions for that thing. So if we consider the product as of today, and then they continue to be the case, then definitely surrender values have this impact. But we all will appreciate that if these surrender values, you know, have to be done, or increased surrender values have to come into play, this will be a requirement for review and redesign of this product so that that value can be protected. Now, that may have an impact on the business volumes. That may not have an impact on the business volume. That may create higher acceptability of products, or lesser, that only time can tell. So, you know, it's not something which is very static, and on those basis it can be projected what is the impact. We are confident that insurance companies, together along with the authority, will work out the ways and the venue in which the growth of the business will continue, and the profitability and the margins and, you know, to all the stakeholders will also continue to be reasonably good and fair. So we will continue to strive in that direction. Thank you, Darshan.
Okay, and just one final question on your strategy itself. I know it's a bit complicated, but the point here is you are bringing down your power margins, non-power as well as non-power margins. More so on the non-power margins, I was looking 1Q FY23 was 72%, 1Q24 is 43.3%, and 1Q25 is 39.8%. So you have consistently brought down the margins by a massive 30 percentage points over the course of last 2 years just to push up the non-power growth. So, I mean, how long can this continue? I mean, the point here is you really want to prioritize growth over margins. How do you strike the right balance, especially when you are also going to see a regulatory change? Because it looks like growth is coming at the expense of margins.
See, yeah, that's a very good question, right question also. But if you would see that when we have brought down margins in some other products, we have also introduced products with, you know, higher margins in between. Now, the and during this period, it's not that we have been continuously bringing down our margins. For example, for the annuities, while in the last quarter of the previous financial year, we did bring down our margins and increase annuity, we have reviewed and revised our rates in the current quarter. So it has to be attuned to, as we said, our larger focus is to ensure that our VNB growth, VNB by amount, that is actual profit numbers, are sustainable and upward looking. And that all of us, all anybody who understands and appreciates insurance business, it is going to be a combination of the AP growth. We can have very significant high margins and stay with it, with the, but the business volume may not come about there. So that it doesn't result to any VNB as such. So therefore, it is going to, and so what we are trying to do is, as on the competitive lines of business, wherever we have to, we have no option, but we have to make our product as competitive as anybody else is giving. So we, when we give it, we are simultaneously bringing out other products, and some of them have been blockbusters for us, introduce them through better benefits, the products which are value proposition for the customers, they are good for the shareholders, and they are good for even our internal stakeholders. So those type of products also we have introduced. We continue to rebalance. And actually, this is something which should be noted that despite of the challenges on the VNB front for the industry itself, and large of it is also coming from the discount effects that we talked about, for LIC, the quarter-to-quarter VNB margin is better than the first quarter of the last year. And we have seen our trajectory changes from first quarter towards the fourth quarter. And that is what directionally we are expecting and working for.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on your hedging strategy. So last quarter you had indicated that you are working towards putting a hedging strategy for your non-par book. Just wanted an update on that. Where has that progressed and how far are you towards putting up a hedging strategy for your non-par book? That would be the first one. The second one was on the VNB walk. You know, there has been a 230 basis point impact due to change in assumptions. Just wanted to understand what's contributing to that, what has moved. So if you could help with that, you know, that's something that I would like to understand. And lastly, the last quarter you had mentioned that you were working towards the composite license and what opportunities that could throw up. If you could give us an update, you know, what, you know, what's happening with composite license, how, you know, and what work have you done in the last 3 months to make use of it whenever it's available. Thank you.
I would answer last question first regarding composite. Actually, we know that there will be some amendments so that composite license is coming. For that, we are prepared. I have already given statement. We are now exploring all possibilities to have some stake in some standalone health insurance company. So that, because internally we examined it is not appropriate to develop our internal health insurance vertical. So better to explore some stake in some company. So that work is going on. I think within this year something will materialize. Regarding your hedging strategy, we have our derivative policy in place. We have taken approval and our team is working on that. Any further?
We have our hedging strategy in place. It is approved by the board investment policy. We have already tied up with our bankers on that thing. And as our non-par portfolio increases, we have actually started to work upon that already. Besides that, in fact, I'm also aware that within industry, there is also a call whether the direct participation of insurance companies into this segment could also be considered, which is a very good idea being thought about and probably at a thought stage. So we'll remain open to utilization of this hedging strategies for this business.
As regards the assumption impact of assumptions on VNB worker, the major impact comes from the fall in RFR, and there's a minor actually additions to the assumption in the area of a better improvement in mortalities, which we have observed in case of term and group businesses. That has been updated because as per the standards, we like to factor in whatever the information we have today's basis. And then we have also observed that there is an improvement in the withdrawal assumption in case of group, that is towards the betterment. So these three are the most prominent assumptions that we have made. And the major being the fall in RFR, which has impacted the margins in a negative.
Got it. And on the mortality experience being poor in term insurance, you know, what is that contributing to? Have you looked into that? That could be one follow up. And on the composite license, thanks a lot for the clarification. Just wanted to understand that you are looking at taking a stake in one of the Sahis. All the Sahis are privately held. So, are you looking at, acquiring something, or would it be a strategic stake? What are your thoughts on that? If you could give us some clarity, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Actually, at this stage, we are exploring all possibilities, which will be in the best interest of LIC, all its stakeholders. That we are exploring, and when we analyze, you will also be able to know that.
Your first question was not very clear. There is
So, you had said that on mortality, the experience was poor in term insurance, which was one of the contributors to the adverse assumption change?
No. Actually, in case of term and group, it is better.
Okay.
Negative impact is the fall in RFR. The other contributions are positive in nature.
Okay, got it. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Chawate from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. Again, going back to the same point on, the margin change in the book. So what I understand is that the change that we can see on the PAR side was not because of benefit enhancement. So I think in your VNB walk, you have sort of cited two reasons, for change in margins. One is, impact of product benefits, and the other is impact of assumptions. And I think what you seem to be now saying is that the PAR book is affected purely by impact of assumptions, is it?
See, there are two impacts on PAR book. One is there are multiple parts in the PAR book, which each has a different profit signature. And there's a business of mix within the PAR group is also impacting to some extent the margins of PAR. And most important contribution to the movement in the PAR, we observe in the movement in the PAR book is due to the fall in
RFR. I think we lost him, right?
I'll repeat once again. See, PAR book consists of different products with different profit signatures, and the business mix also contributes to the movement of that we observe in the PAR business. And more importantly, in respect of PAR business, the impact of RFR fall is performed.
Okay. So because if I look at it, you know, now this year onwards, you have almost 10% sort of a, you know, economic share. Shareholders have almost a 10% economic share in the power book. And, you know, if we had kind of sustained it at 5%, you know, what we had during IPO, you probably margins would have been around 4%. So, you know, does RFR have so much of an impact? I think is what my question is. And, you know, kind of coming back to the broader question on margins, I understand that, you know, at this stage, it's a little challenging to sort of give an outlook on margins. Obviously, a product mix shift is definitely helping you. But at a product level for PAR or non-PAR, is there a particular threshold margin below which you would probably not want to go and then say, or probably on a risk-adjusted basis, it doesn't make sense. And you would then say that, look, beyond this, you know, all of it is something that we'll pass on to either our customers or distributors. So if you could give us something in your mind saying that, you know, we can't go below a particular percentage, whether it's a 5 or a 7 or whatever, and, you know, beyond that, we will pass on.
See, just clarifying on that issue, yes, it's pretty good in the participating business. You know, IFR is basically a significant aspect. But we also need to appreciate that nature of products which are between participating and non-participating are differentiated, but at times very similar also. And within the participating book, there could be products. Again, within the PAR is a book size, as I explained my first response, and the VNB margins within the products could have significantly changed. So, if he has got a product which becomes a very blockbuster or very, you know, attractive and, you know, taken with open arms in the non-PAR side, and you got a similar product in non-participating book size, there is going to be a trade-off. And so, for a short period of time, that will impact. So, the business mix is bound to change when you're taking a strategy towards a particular line of business. And that is something possibly which can't be seen on quarter-to-quarter basis. It has to be allowed to settle down over a period of time and then see. As far as your point about benchmarking or referencing, I think I indicated my earlier response also. What we are looking towards is a very, you know, robust and sustainable growth in VNB. So we are, I think we have to work on an overall strategy of business mix, business volumes, and VNB margin. As a reference point, definitely another indication is we have seen from our results in the past that we have always referenced and benchmarked to the corresponding period of the previous period and try to go upwards from there. So the strategy is to gradually move upwards in this business margin overall. If you see in the first year, it was around 15.2. We moved to 16.8 at the end of the year, and that is the direction in which we are moving towards, you know, possibly 20% plus in near to middle term. And of course, during that period, because the numbers on the margins only come after the quarter is over or the period is over. So, to what extent that strategy of mix and will the margin change or sacrifice, or in fact, you know, not allowing it to be sacrificed, has worked out, is seen at the end of the quarter and recalibrated for the next quarter. But the direction is that we are going consistently towards upward trajectory to be in line with the industry. We have seen in the industry also, there are some, you know, there have been achievements of high 20s or even 30, and they have settled down, comes down. So there will always be a shift in the, what is the industry level in margin, but we are very thinking confident that over some period of time, our business mix, as it is changing and changing sharply actually in the right direction, will be the standard benchmark for the entire industry also.
Got it. Just one small question, and maybe, you know, this is probably a suggestion, is that if you could break up your equity book, you know, between, basically your investment book between equity and debt, and again, you know, that breaking up into PAR and non-PAR, because I believe last year you had made some transfers, you know, for equity, you know, from the non-PAR, as in basically the equity share in the PAR book had gone up. So, you know, when we try to kind of corroborate, you know, the market value of LIC's investments, it just helps us to understand how the allocations are happening. So maybe if you could either share a number or maybe, you know, subsequently kind of put it in your quarterly presentations.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Sorry to harp on this VNB thing again. On the power side, have we moved from 7.5% sharing to 10% sharing? And you've been alluding to the fact that, you know, the mix has been adverse in the power side, which has kind of dented the margins. Could you give some more granularity as to, you know, what is the kind of mix that is impacting, whether it's the tenure of the products or it's the different nature of the product that's kind of impacting this? That would be my first question. I'll ask the other questions later.
See, if we look at the power products, there are different types of products which cater to different customers. And we have observed that the customer profile, that is the distribution of term as well as the distribution of the ticket size has changed. And that is the contribution that has contributed to the impact of the margins.
Okay, and we have moved to 10% sharing, right?
Yeah. In spite of me, because the RFR impact, as we have, the RFR impact is more profound.
Okay.
Ability is a long term, and therefore the impact on interest rates.
Yeah. The other question is, you alluded to on the surrender charges, you were mentioned that, you know, the more than if the premium is not paid for more than 1 year, then only then the surrender charges impact will not be there in the first year. Could you give some persistency color on that particular cohort where, you know, the premium has been paid for more than 1 year? What is the kind of persistency for you guys in the 13 month for that kind of a cohort?
I think that is, you know, we will appreciate one thing that, you know, by overall analysis, that yearly policies tend to less the least, the highest persistency or lapsation, sorry, happens in the policies where the ticket size is small and the mode is either particular. That has been the trend. But again, we can't speculate based on that, because if the benefits change, people may tend to change their preferences also. Custom behavior will change. That's what I was indicating, that how it pans out, how the customer behavior changes, just because the sender will affect the thing, customer will anyway lose some part of his, you know, investment. It's not that he's gaining out of it. So it does not necessarily mean it will translate into higher surrender. So all the factors will have to be considered. If we can, you know, tailor our products or make them more distributor behavior, and all those things can be linked together, insurance company can work out design. But yes, it has got an impact. It has got a financial impact on the way we have the products right now. It's a challenging work that we have take care of. But we cannot say, for example, this five-year thing, we hardly have any product where there's less than five-year term is available. So that's not going to impact us for that, for sure, or something. Just because 1 year is going to pay, you know, tender values, we are not going to discourage people for taking yearly mode. That's also for sure. We'll work out and we'll discuss out those things, and we'll try to look into our product design accordingly and engage in the discussions wherever they are required and where they are fruitful to find the right way forward.
Got that. And secondly, you know, there has been a recent push towards ULIPs. How do you see that kind of scaling up? And whether I've heard it correctly, that your medium-term target for VNB margins is 20%, you know, with this kind of, so do you think that can be achievable with your focus, increasing focus on ULIPs and those products?
We mentioned about 20% plus, just to clarify. So 20%. Not as a number, but 20% plus is every ULIP has got an importance in the portfolio, not necessarily from the margin point of view. I appreciate that point. ULIP has got distinct advantages in the current setup of schemes, and therefore insurers would tend to. We also, as I said, because it's a customer preference which is very important. If customers have got that appetite, even margins are low. Because that cannot be the only criteria, that because margin is low and customer need is there, we will not fulfill it. So at times, it's not only the decision to provide which products or which direction is not necessarily constrained or bound by margins only. So that's, let's be clear on that. However, for the top line, for satisfying customers, for the, you know, larger, I should say, leveraging those products for satisfying more customer needs, units are going to be important. So that's a directional way in which we are going towards it. But we are also focusing our big margin is coming from our saving products. So that continues to be our main focus.
Got it.
Therefore, it means the growth in saving non-par is even much higher than the ULIP in our case. ULIP is around 134% in this quarter, whereas we have almost 600% growth in our non-par saving, resulting in overall around 160% plus growth in our non-par, you know, non-linked products. So that's the direction in which we are.
Got that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Gowda from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is pretty simple. Assuming the surrender rules are implemented on the current product structure, if you don't do any tweaking, what is the likely impact on the margins? How much you need to adjust to protect that margin is the reason I'm asking that question. Assuming central tariff, what is the likely impact on the margin? That's my first question. The second thing is that your drop-off rates assumed to be 20-22% at the 30th month. You also said that there are some policies which are quarterly, half-yearly, and they are part of the 22% rate. So if you can break up the premium of 20-22%, which is dropping off, how much is less than 1 year premium pay? I mean, the paying term is quarterly or high frequency compared to annual. That's my second question. And lastly, somewhere the par business seems to be struggling to grow. Anything to read between how is it because you have increased focus on long par, so natural victim is a par, or you think someday this business will come back and contribute to the growth? Yeah, those are my questions.
Yeah. See, first of all, at this stage, I would not like to assume anything. We are perennial optimist. We remain optimist that, you know, something better will come about. So I don't see any reason to assess. In fact, we have assessed, but it's not about VNB margin. Let's be clear. So the surrender value is not an issue about only VNB margins per se. It is about, you know, the best value proposition from the customer. That's how we look into it. As I said earlier also, margins, let's be very, you know, clear about it. Margin is something which can, any product design, just design a product, it can have margin. So that cannot be the ultimate focus. The focus is how that margin leads into the business growth and industry growth and for us as a company growth, so that the maybe it is achieved. So at point of time, you know, 20%, or 25% or 100% is not that significant, but what is the ultimate value which is coming in terms of the business growth and the margins? That's going to be the consideration. And that is the direction in which we are working. This is the second part of the question. Yeah, see, again, we need to appreciate something that it has been a big problem for our life to move away, not actually move it, but to rather, it's not that we are moving away from participating business. And we have got a set of clients, at a point of time, they will decide what type of product they want to do. So that's a function of their needs. For example, let's talk about ULIP. ULIP is driven by, you know, what market sentiments and what market understanding customers have. So it is not necessarily insurance companies pushing, at times it is sought by the customer, that's why it is done. Same customer, suppose you come out with a new product. As a strategy, we felt that we have got enough number of products in participating. And in case it will grow, we can come out with more guaranteed type of products, which the customer needs. So it's not only from business proposition or margin point of view. We consider it's a value proposition, good for the customer point of view and for us as an insurer also. That's why we come out with more offerings. So it is possible that at the time, and the customer, every customer would have a budget of his own, and that how much they can spare in a particular year. Possibly if the larger spend or larger, you know, investment is or larger preference is happening was non-par product, the same customer at that point of time may not be able to afford or buy a similar par product. These functions, you know, or the outcomes cannot be seen in a short period of time. It's not that we want to reduce par business and grow into non-par business. Our ultimate aim is that we want to offer all the product solutions to the customer and tell them the value of the guarantees as well as the choices for the discretion, and they are doing it. But as a corporation, we have realized that we have been in par business for long, and there was an effect of saturation in that market. We do not see substantial growth at this point of time in par business, but we still expect, and we are working towards reasonable growth in participating business also. In fact, in the recent quarter, we have seen uptick in our participating sales also and the volumes also as compared to the trends which were there in the previous year. So as a company, the direction from CUMD is continuously that what we have to offer is the value proposition for the customer, and that is what is happening. The great growth which is coming in the non-par segment is the outcome of the number of products, the value, which have been appreciated by the market that we have been able to offer, an area which has been largely untapped from the point of the distributor, the policyholders, which has been there. That is happening. Possibly there's a dent of as an outcome of that in the participating business. It's not our conscious strategy to reduce par business. We want to improve our book size on both the sides of it. We realize exceptional growth can come from non-par at this point of time as compared to the participating business.
Got it. The second question which I asked, basically out of the 20-22% drop-off which we experienced after 12 months or 13 months, how much is less than 1 year premium paying plans? Because that naturally will not be part of your surrender rules. So you'll benefit out of it. So just wondering whether we can assume it is 50% or less than 50% of the drop-off what you experienced in 13 months?
See, what will happen, I don't see, as I was explaining earlier, I won't see much, the purpose in examining the current portfolio. If that is something to be done, we will redesign our products to ensure that they are in line with what we want them to, right? So I'm not bound by offering the same thing which I'm offering currently. So I have to first decide if this is the direction, these are the decisions which I'm going to make, and we will make decisions in a way to protect them. Of course, that can have business implications because suppose we increase the ticket size or we take decisions, that can help persistency, but then we have to see whether it has got it will be really better, outcomes or that will challenge. That's the area which will, that's the reason we'll appreciate that this long discussion and protected discussion has happened on this concept, whether it is immediate thing is good or it is to be a gradual approach which will work out. But we have to comply with whatever is the expectations that regulators. We only have the right to discuss and present our case before them, and ultimately we'll do what is required and comply with those things and take a design review to ensure that customers continue to pay as best as possible, distributors continue to get benefits which are as best as possible, and shareholders' interests who are deeply involved into the business are also fully protected in line with expectations that we create for
them. Got it, sir. Thank you. That's it so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jain from ICICI Prudential Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just two questions from my side. One is on the new launches, sir. So the Jeevan Utsav product that we launched has really helped us ramp up the non-par AP side of it. So are there any new launches that you are working on either on the non-par or anything on the annuity or say protection ULIP? So if you can help us understand what kind of new launches are you thinking on? And second is on the distribution side, sir, if there are any steps, I can see there is some increase in the bank AP and the direct AP also. So if you can help us understand what are the strategies that we are taking on the distribution side to increase the more mix coming from these other channels also. Thank you.
You see, recently we have launched two very innovative term products, UBA Term and UBA Credit Life.
And already we are getting very good response, getting traction in this market. And in coming days also we'll be launching some more products. Depending upon whatever feedback we get from our customers as well as from our field force. It is a continuous process as our appointed actually told. If product launching depending upon market need and other things also. We will be imagine all those things. Keeping those things in mind, we will be continuously launching innovative products. So that is one thing. Second question was
marketing
strategy. You see, our banca has already improved. Focus will be on alternate channel and digital marketing also without compromising agency channel. Agency channel will grow, but the share of other channel we plan systematically it has to grow up. And already banca has shown in last quarter Q1, they have shown we are more focusing on alternate channel. Apart from bank, alternate channel means broker, IMF, corporate agents, those will be focused area in the current year.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. Just one question from my side. You know, when I look at your persistency ratio trajectory between Q1 of last year versus Q1 of this year and the decline in some of the buckets, especially the early ones, wanted to understand if you can give broad color on the product categories which have witnessed a decline, or is it across the board that you have witnessed a deteriorating persistency trend? Also, you know, if you can break it up between, you know, some of the customer cohort in terms of high ticket versus low ticket. That would be my question.
As far as this, you know, 13-month persistency is concerned, I think on the policy basis, it has improved as compared to the last year. So on premium basis, it is there. But the changes are very, you know, small. The difference is, you know, because we have taken certain decisions in the previous years in which we have reviewed various products where the persistency experience was not good, particularly in the micro side. So possibly there is a shift from those businesses to some other lines of businesses. But as far as policy is considered, in the policy that 13-month persistency is actually by policy basis improved. So from 66.15% to 67.81%. So that's the case. And and these are the cohorts, you know, which are over previous period of time. Another important aspect of persistency which needs to be noted is that for the corporation, we have a very, you know, a very, very different role from many other possibly because of the we have a 6-year decade and we have always been trying to balance between ensuring just the number of persistency and also making our availability, you know, the insurance for all concepts reaching to every nook and corner. So persistency can be possibly significantly improved if the ticket sizes are increased. But then there's a deprivation to the last segment of society, which can afford, you know, lesser amounts. So they have to be given smaller ticket size also. But by the nature and we have seen that in the lower ticket size, the persistency experience is less because of the affordability issue. So, you know, in case a certain percentage is lasting, that's one way of looking at it in that segment. But a certain segment which can afford and continues with that policy, if we do not provide them those ticket sizes, then possibly they cannot never benefit from the benefit of the insurance. So that is some call which is very critical and important for us. And these persistency ratios, again, line by business-wise are different. We also show very high persistency in term business and all those things. But this is largely coming from small ticket size policies, their contribution. And we continue to review. We have reviewed a lot of products in that direction. But that has also impacted the business volumes also. So we have to look into that aspect. And the persistency, we are closely monitoring, doing all the efforts in that direction. And in fact, trying to incentivize the behavior of distribution also, as well as in the product designs, we have tried certain experiments. At times, it takes little time for them to get implemented. Because the numbers, other than 13 months, are the ones which have been done in the previous period. Another important aspect is that this way of persistency calculation, as seen from public disclosures, and some of the companies may not be including micro business into it. We do include micro business into our persistency calculation. That may have a smaller impact, but nevertheless, that has got an impact. So we have therefore had to review our micro insurance products. That's what we continue to do. We realize the importance of persistency, and that remains a focal area for the corporation.
Sorry, but just a follow-up, would you like to give some color between ULIP, PAR and non-PAR savings in terms of how the persistency trends have been? I mean, excluding the ticket size and the customer cohort, in terms of the product category, which class has witnessed pressure?
See, overall, the experience, if I would say by non-PAR saving would give the best persistency to us. In that also, the term business would give the best persistency. Followed by non-PAR saving products. Of course, the annuities give good persistency there also. Then the comes participating business has got lesser persistency as compared to that, mainly because of the ticket sizes again being less available in various products there historically also. And ULIPs also show lesser persistency, but within ULIP, some of the products have shown, the new products have shown very good persistency. The old product that we had, their persistency is low. So within ULIP also, the trend is different across different products. So that's why we are having a close look into which products to continue, which products to now redesign, and which to break out.
But would it be fair to assume that on a YOY basis, PAR has witnessed some pressure? The small ticket PAR? PAR has, in the 13-month PAR has witnessed some declining trajectory?
You are talking in context of persistency?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, some of the products within them PAR, which have got lower ticket size, their persistency seems to have dipped. Therefore, we'll review those products.
Got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference call. I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mohanty for their closing comments.
So thank you, friends. Thank you for patiently listening and for your very, very thoughtful questions. And we hope that we have been able to answer all your queries to your satisfaction. Given the momentum in our business and rollout of various strategic initiatives, we are hopeful and confident that we'll be able to demonstrate all-round growth and improvement in parameters as we move forward. Thank you very much and have a good day. Thank you.
On behalf of LIC, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.